Amen. Lamentations chapter 3. If you have your Bibles tonight, Lamentations 3. Our main verse for tonight is verse number 57, but we're going to begin reading in verse 39 and go down through verse number 59. And we're going to be looking at the nearness of God. Wherefore doth a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins? Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. We have transgressed and have rebelled. Thou hast not pardoned. Thou hast covered with anger and persecuted us. Thou hast slain, thou hast not pitied. Thou hast covered thyself with a cloud that our prayers should not pass through. Thou hast made us as the offscouring and refuse in the midst of the people. All our enemies have opened their mouths against us. Fear and a snare is come upon us, desolation and destruction. Mine eye runneth down with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughter of my people. Mine eye trickleth down and ceaseth not without any intermission. Till the Lord look down and behold from heaven, mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city. Mine enemies have chased me sore like a bird without cause. They have cut off my life in the dungeon and cast a stone upon me. Waters flowed over mine head, then I said, I am cut off. I called upon thy name, O Lord, out of the low dungeon. Thou hast heard my voice. Hide not thine ear at my breathing, at my cry. Thou drewest near in the day that I called upon thee. Thou saidst, fear not. O Lord, thou hast pleaded the cause of my soul. Thou hast redeemed my life. O Lord, thou hast seen my wrong. Judge thou my cause. Lord, as we come before you, thank you for the opportunity to gather once again in your house. And as your word is opened, I just ask you, Lord, just to use me tonight to deliver the message that I believe you would have for us tonight. And I ask you, Lord, just to meet everyone where they are and just ask you to remind us of some things tonight about the importance of your nearness. In Jesus' name, amen. Clarence Sexton said once, the key to the victorious Christian life is living consciously under the ruling presence of Jesus Christ. We know God's presence in our lives by praying, meditating on God's word, and going through deep trials and depending on Him to carry us through. When God comes near, He removes our fear, redeems our lives, and reveals Himself. The answer to our sin is the nearness of God. The Lord is chiseling away at us to bring us to the place where we can be more usable and glorifying to Him. So we see here where the key to the victorious Christian life is consciously living under the ruling presence of Jesus Christ. There is no place to hide from God. Many of us, perhaps even in this church, have tried. Perhaps we all have for short periods of time, some shorter, some longer, but nonetheless, hiding is hiding. When you read the account of Adam and Eve after their fall in the garden, it doesn't sound like they hid for too long, but long enough. Hiding from God is hiding from God. But the question tonight is this, is He near you? John 15 and verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. As we read Lamentations, and I invite you to read the book of Lamentations and just get an idea of the overall storyline here. But in this story of tragedy, God shines the light of His nearness to Jeremiah in this situation. Let's look at God making his presence known. How does he do this? He does this in three ways. One is through prayer. Lamentations 3 and verse 55, I called upon thy name, O Lord, out of the low dungeon. We also see through God's word, Isaiah 30 verses 18 through 21, and therefore will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. Now, the first two, prayer and God's word, are somewhat easy to contrast, grasp. But with the next way that God makes himself known to us is a little bit more difficult, I think, sometimes for us to wrap our minds around, and that's through trouble. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Psalm 119, verses 150 through 152. They draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from thy law. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. Hebrews 13, 5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. When scripture says, draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you, and trouble causes us to draw nigh to God. And if trouble causes us to seek him, then trouble causes us to experience the nearness of God. But the nearness was brought on by trouble. Now, if you think about it, Job suffered more than anyone outside of Jesus Christ. We see where Job in chapter 42, verses 1 through 6, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not. Things too wonderful me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself, and repent in dust and ashes. God used trouble in Job's life to humble Job, unlike any other, to then be used of God, unlike any other. Think of Samson also. Samson gave this riddle, out of the eater came forth meat. In Judges 14 and verse 14. Sometimes the best things in life are oftentimes on the backside of trials, on the backside of adversity. But you got to go through the trials in order to experience. I've said this many a times. There are camps, there are Christian camps and different ministries that have been started that God has used down throughout the ages that were started on the back of adversity. There are hymns that have been penned that we sing in our services that were penned in adversity or on the backside of adversity. God uses it. In the devil's attempt to devour us, God makes himself known to us. In Jeremiah chapter 3, verses 46 through 50, Jeremiah was weeping because of the sin of his people. He was nearly put to death for preaching God's word, but his one comfort was that the Lord saw his suffering. And I invite you to be reminded of this, that in your suffering, God allowed it, and God is with you. He is observing your suffering. And God will see you through to the other side of it. And it's amazing when you get to the other side of it, you begin to kind of see some things and kind of what it was all about. And then you get to see how God used the whole thing all together. And I tell you what, you might not necessarily be thankful for the season in hindsight, but you are thankful for what God did in the season in hindsight. I tell you what, some of the worst things I've ever been through in my life, I tell you, God has used them. He's used them. And I could give you example after example of how God's used them. One of the most recent thing, and it's not a horrible experience or anything. It was an inconvenience. But this ice storm, this weather that we had, it was an inconvenience. It was. We have things to do, and sometimes weather gets in the way of us wanting to do what we have to do. And I like to be in charge of my own brakes. I like to be in charge of my own detours. I like to decide when I'm sitting down, when I'm working, and when I'm outside, and when I'm not, and when I'm driving, and when I'm not. I don't like weather telling me that I got to stay in the house, or I can't go anywhere, or the electricity. I don't like that, I don't like that. So it was an inconvenience. And we had branches and stuff and a big part of a tree that fell down in the yard. But I was telling somebody, several people, actually, one of the blessings out of that is we have wood. You get the saw out and get the axe out. Somebody gave us an axe. You get it, and hey, you get to work. You got your wood now. I was telling somebody too. I said because I got that quote above the fireplace that says "chop your own wood and it warm you twice." I told him, I said, if we don't chop our own wood, I'm going to throw my sign away. I like that sign. I like that sign. But if we don't get out there and start chopping that wood, I'm going to have to get rid of it. I'm going to have to give it to somebody that lives by it. I can't be doing that, but it's one of those things where sometimes inconveniences and setbacks, I mean, there ends up being a blessing, out of it. And God wants to come alongside you and be near you. And it's the nearness of God that we should desire in the good times, but also in the bad times, both in times of great joy, but also in times of great suffering. Throughout all the seasons of life, we should desire for God to be near. And it shouldn't be a selfish desire. It's not, I'm in trouble, so I need you to be near. You know, that there was a time when I was coming back to God where I found myself kind of straddling that fence for a little bit. And like I said, I use this example before because some people, they say, somebody's straddling the fence or something. And you know what? They might be. They might be straddling the fence. But for them, that might just be progress because they used to be all the way over here. So just give them a little bit and let the Lord work on them. They might be crossing the fence instead of just hanging out there. And sometimes we don't quite realize where somebody's at in their progress, where they're at in their journey. But there was a time where I was struggling, and when things were good, I was doing what I needed to be doing. I was reading my Bible. I was praying. I had joy and excitement about going to church. But when things started going sideways, the Bible would find itself on the back burner. Prayer would find itself on the back burner. I'm not as excited anymore about going to church. I'm not as excited anymore about the things of God. There was a time where I was really struggling in that way. And you know what? We can find ourselves at times where we appreciate God's presence more in the times that it is convenient for us, when we should want God to be near because we love Him and we love His presence. This evening, we're going to look at three things that happens when God is near. When God comes near, He removes our fears. I ask you tonight, are you afraid? Because God calms fears. He removes our fears with His presence. Sometimes, and I attribute it to oppression at times, and I'm working on a message about that because I think it's important, and the Lord's laying it on my heart, just kind of the how how the devil attacks believers. Because it is important. The devil is going to attack us, and more so it's his operatives, more so than him. It would be what many of us would refer to as demons that the devil dispatches towards us. I don't think any of us, myself included, so special that the devil himself was at our house at any point in time or amongst us. I don't know. He might be in Washington. I don't know. That might be where he lives, doing all his work up in there, going back and forth between there and hell, but I don't know. But I just know the devil's going to be around whoever would have the most influence, whoever would have the most influence. And if the devil can keep hold of them and mess them up, then he can mess up a whole lot of other people. I know that. But the devil's got his operatives that he dispatches. And one of the things that sometimes we can get hit with out of the middle of nowhere is fear. Fear just comes over you. Don't know why. It's out of nowhere, absolute nowhere. If you got house cameras, you don't see nobody on the cameras. Ain't nobody knocking on the door at 2 a.m. Ain't nobody knocking on the window at 2 a.m. Nothing should have you fearful. But it just comes on you and comes over you just like that. But we got to be reminded to draw nigh to God in those times, and he'll draw nigh to you. And when he draws nigh to you, it's amazing how fear just goes away. He calms fears. He removes our fears with his presence. Clarence Sexton said once, the fear of God releases us from all lesser fears. Sometimes we get all caught up on some little thing that's got us scared. Some little thing that's got us terrified and just fearful of. Then when we draw nigh to God and he draws nigh to us, it's amazing how this becomes true, that the fear of God releases us from all lesser fears. Lamentations 3 and verse 57, thou drewest near in the day that I called upon thee. Thou saidst, fear not. And this is important, because the lack of fear doesn't mean the absence of trouble. Now, this is hard at times to get through to folks. Having joy doesn't mean you don't have problems. You just haven't allowed your problems to rob you of your joy. You're living above life's problems. Just because you have peace don't mean you have problems. Don't have problems. You just haven't allowed your problems to rob you of your peace. You're living above your problems. Some Christians, many actually, will view one another in their joy. They'll view one another in their lack of fear. They'll view one another in their peace. They'll view one another in their contentment. And they'll say to themselves, real snarky like, must be nice not to have any problems. Must be nice not to have any health concerns or family problems or financial problems, not even realizing that no man, woman, boy, or girl lives without problems. Some are just better at being near to God in their troubles, which allows one to still exemplify the fruits of the Spirit while they suffer. And I'll tell you something else about this. If people viewed it right, that everybody has problems, and some people have joy in their problems, then they got to ask why. Why do they? And then one comes to know the reason why. It's God. It's his word. Then it becomes an indictment to them, because they have problems and they don't have joy. They have problems and they don't have peace. They have problems, but they don't have contentment. Then it's an indictment. So they would rather think that one has the absence of problems than one has problems, but they are living above their problems through Jesus Christ. And I tell you what, there was a time in my life when I was not walking with the Lord. And when I wasn't, I was focused on all my problems. And I had no peace. I had no joy. I had no contentment. My heart goes out to that young Marine, 29 years old, killed in Tyler. Road rage. Heart goes out to him. You know, that could have been me. I guarantee, I could tell y'all some stuff today that when I wasn't too long out of the Marines, that could have been me shot or somebody else shot. I'll put it that way. And it's the Lord's grace. It is. It's the Lord's grace and His mercy on my life. And Him telling me, leave your gun at home. Leave your knives at home. You can't handle it. You can't handle having them. You'll get in less trouble with these if it came down to it than what you would with them. Couldn't cut my hands off. Better to leave with them. But my heart goes out to him because there was a time in my life that could have been me. That could have very well been me. But there was a time in my life, and I can't speak to that young man, but there was a time in my life where I was living beneath my problems, not above them. And some would perhaps ask, well, what kind of problems did you have? And I could go through it, and you'd probably be like, well, but that's no excuse. It's no excuse. Sometimes we get to where we're trying to measure up problems sometimes. Who's got the greatest problem? Well, if your problem's this big, then it's okay to live beneath it. No. Paul and Silas, singing praises to God while in prison. They weren't singing a song of their woes to anyone who would listen to them. And I'll tell you something else, and it could go for any genre of music. Listen to music that promotes problems. Just listen to music that promotes problems. So some of them's too real. I sat down the other night and I turned on Cops for a minute, and I saw somebody getting arrested. And it's like, I can't handle that. People in their lowest moments in their life, and they got problems, and they got big problems and stuff. It's like, that's not entertainment. That's not entertainment. That's just too realistic. That's real. That's real stuff. Gun smoke. Bonanza. Andy Griffith. But I tell you, you put your eyes on stuff that highlights the problems, and you get focused on problems, and you listen to music that highlights problems and stuff, and you'll be a factory of emotions and sadness and woe is me, and I got it worse than everybody else. I'm telling you, because I used to do it. I used to do it. Paul and Silas were praising God more in prison than some were while living in freedom. Job 14:1, man that's born a woman is a few days and full of trouble. The presence of God drives our fear away. You know, if we sat around and thought about it today, we could have a lot to be afraid of. In this culture that we live in this day and age that we live in, and you turn on the news and you see what's going on even right around us, there's a lot that we could be fearful of. But the presence of God, He drives that stuff away. When David walked down in the valley of Elah, he was not looking at Goliath. He was looking to God, which brings up another point, what you talk about in your troubles, what you're looking at in your trouble. David wasn't talking about Goliath even while facing Goliath. He was talking about his God while facing Goliath. David didn't proclaim a God that stood in the shadows of Goliath. David proclaimed a view of God that had everything and everyone, including David, in the shadow of an almighty God. David said to the giant, "The battle is the Lord's, and He'll give you into our hands." 1 Samuel 17, verse 47. You know, in the toughest hours of life, or in the hour of dying, God will be there. Psalm 23:4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Number two, when God comes near, he redeems our lives. God brought Jeremiah's life back and made it a value. Lamentations 3:58. O Lord, thou hast pleaded the cause of my soul. Thou hast redeemed my life. The Lord gave him purpose. The word redeemed, it reminds us of the kinsman redeemer. God uses that same expression to describe how he redeems us. Our lives would be worthless. Our lives would be useless and wasted if it were not for the Lord's redeeming. Revelation 1:18, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. John 14:19, Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He hath seen me, he hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Notice also, when God comes near, he reveals himself. Lamentations 3:58-61. O Lord, thou hast pleaded the cause of my soul. Thou hast redeemed my life. O Lord, thou hast seen my wrong. Judge thou my cause. Thou hast seen all their vengeance and all their imaginations against me. Thou hast heard their reproach, O Lord, and all their imaginations against me. Jeremiah refers to the Lord here 5 times. The nearness of God reveals who he is, and God wants us to know him. Imagine the emotions that Jeremiah was feeling when he wrote Lamentations 3:46, all our enemies have opened their mouths against us. All of them. In Psalm 69:12, the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus was the song of the drunkards. When God made himself known to Jeremiah, he said, Lord, I'm turning them over to you. In essence, I trust you to do the right thing with them. That's an important thing to do, because sometimes we're just hanging on to stuff longer than what we really should be hanging on to it. When we say, Lord, I am turning this over to you. Sometimes we got to be brought to that point. I think in general, sometimes it's a good thing to put your hand to something and try and work on it. I think we need to learn what those things are a little bit better. I can't say I've got that quite figured out, I about put my hand to everything first, I think, and then the Lord said, hey, why don't you give me that? We've seen what you can do. Now let me see. Let's see what I can do now. But that's the tendency. We say, you know what? I'm just going to jump in and take care of this. I'm going to get it all figured out. But in essence, that's what Jeremiah was doing. I give this to you. In 2 Timothy 4:13-14, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee in the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. The apostle Paul trusted God to make things right between him and the man who did him much evil. You know, there's going to be times in life where somebody does you much evil, somebody does wrong to you, somebody does wrong by you, and human nature sometimes is to go at them. But we got to be reminded that it's the Lord who's paying attention, and vengeance is his. So how does a man have the grace to do that? He has that grace when God makes himself near. There's times where sometimes it could just be a split second prayer. Just a split second. Something just happened. And it could be a split second prayer. And I say, Lord, I need more of you in the next few seconds than what I got right now. I need some real quick. I need more of your presence. I need more of your grace if I'm going to handle this thing here right. So again, how does a man or woman have that grace to do that? Again, has that grace when God makes himself near. When the Lord draws near, he removes fear, he redeems the life, he reveals himself. I can never, we just cannot underestimate the importance of God's nearness. And just walking with him and walking in fellowship with him. I was thinking earlier up here, and I love that psalm, as Sherry sang. But I was thinking up here, as you think about a child when they're young. A child just takes you by the hand, and they just walk with you. A child ain't thinking about anything else, really. They're with mom, they're with dad, they're holding their hand, and they're out for a walk. It could be a crowded place. I remember a couple of times we were at sporting events and or something, and it was a crowded area, and we're all chain linked. Just everybody's got a hand. Everybody's got a hand. And if you don't feel anything in your hand, stop right then. And, you know, so you're in a crowded area, anything could happen. And you got a little chain link thing going on. But you know what? Kids, they just take you by the hand. And they'll walk with you. And we gotta have that childlike faith when it comes to the Lord. Because he's leading. And we're walking with him. And we grab hold of his hand and he leads us. And we can't worry about other people. And we can't worry about this danger or that danger or this possibility or that possibility. We just got to have faith in the Lord and his leading. And it's an amazing thing that he can be walking with us but ahead of us. At the same time, he's already been there. He can be walking with us and ahead of us and working behind us. After it's just amazing when you think about God and his leadership. It's truly matchless. But just be reminded tonight of the importance of the nearness of God.